This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are honored that you're tuning in today. And if you hear us right here on the dial, don't turn the dial. We want to encourage you. We want to give you hope today. It's a call-in show. Talk all about stewardship, how to live this Christian life. When it comes to our money, when it comes to our relationships, comes to these events in our life, circumstances and situations, I'm your host, Chris Brown. Phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. We would encourage you to call in, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That Chris Brown on Air, that is my handle for all social media as well. Great quote here by Larry Burkett. It says, when we acknowledge God's ownership, every spending decision becomes a spiritual decision. Isn't that true? That's exactly why we have this show. And I would go as far as saying every relationship decision becomes a spiritual decision. So we've got to make sure that we know that God is the owner and that we're not. We are the manager. God, we commit this show to you. We ask God that you would speak to us in a powerful way. God, we know that your scriptures say in Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So God, we ask that you would teach us your wisdom today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, that phone number is 866-357-3283. And it looks like our first call is coming in from Fort Wayne, Indiana. This is Dustin. Dustin, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing well.
How can I help you today?
So I am calling about a will. I'm 26. My wife is 27, and my son is 8 months old.
Okay.
And, you know, having a baby really changed our whole perspective on everything.
Tell me about it.
I've never had insurance before, about a year ago, life or health or anything, because we're pretty healthy people. But now I'm dealing with, you know, massive medical debt from having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And which is not, you know, it's not really the point of the call, but I started wondering if my wife and I, you know, tragically die in a car accident and my son survives us. He's just a baby, and I need to think about how to plan for, you know, all contingencies. So I wanted to ask you about whether we should have a will, and what it should entail, and how to set up things like what happens to my retirement savings, or any assets that we have, like a home, you know, and then I've heard people talk about having a trust and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you want to do. You definitely want to get a will, and, you know, folks, you need to understand that wills, a lot of folks get them, and as transient as our world is getting, people jumping around from state to state with different job opportunities, you got to know that a will is actually state specific. So those of you who do have a will, if you have it in another state, it actually has no grounds. It's not valid. So make sure you have a will within your state. Biggest things you're worried about, you need to not worry is the wrong word, but be concerned about would be guardianship for your little boy and also for all your assets. And so what you want to do is you want to go to a good source for this is legalforms.com, uslegalforms.com, and you can get a will for, I think, as low as like $19 or something like that. So definitely need to have one because If you don't, what happens is you have to go through all of this court stuff and all this junk if it's not clear. So you're going to say, this is exactly where I want my boy to go. I want him to go to my parents or my wife's parents. The guardianship is going to be taken care of that way. Or maybe it's a brother or sister that you guys feel comfortable with. And then the assets, what do you want to do? You want to just spell it out exactly what you want to happen in the event that you were to leave Earth or graduate to heaven. So it really is that simple. You just write on exactly what you want, your plans. There's a section in there where you can kind of spell it all out and write it out so there's no confusion. But the clearer you are, the better. And it's better for those who, you know, are sitting there bedside or they're there after the fact and they're trying to figure it all out. And you're actually doing them a big, you know, service to have them not having to wonder what your wishes are, but you make it very clear. So all that's all the verbiage, all you're really doing is filling in blanks on these forms. If you're confused on the form, I would recommend having an attorney help you. It'd be worth whatever it is, $100 or $50 for them to help you through it if you don't understand the verbiage, because it's a lot of legal jargon in there. But definitely do it. So I love the fact that your train of thought is going that way. You're starting to think long term, starting to think about life insurance, all those kind of things. As far as life insurance is concerned, you're going to want 10 to 12 times your annual income in long-term term insurance. So that's what you're looking for that. So you just want to meet with one of our ELPs, our endorsed local providers, and they'll walk you through all the steps you need to take to be able to do that as well.
Okay, very cool. Now, is there any advice that you could give on how to breach a conversation with a family member to say, in the event of our death, would you watch our child? Or is that something, you know, all adults have to have at some point? That's not really a big deal.
What I would do is know that you're not going to go all the way from 0 to 60 in one conversation. I would do it eyeball to eyeball if you can.
Right.
But the biggest thing is you bring it up. Hey, listen, we've got a kid now. He's 8 months old. This is so great. We're excited about leaving a legacy. What would happen? Just bring up the question. What would happen if he were to die today? I mean, if we were to die today and he'd be here all by himself. And so you just ask the question, bring it up and see where the conversation goes. You'll see the passion in them, whether that'd be something they feel called to do, or maybe that's not necessarily their calling to do that. And you'll see kind of, I would gauge it on how excited they are. And another thing I'd be talking with my wife is, you know, are they stable enough to handle this? Are they geared towards small children? And then I'd review the will every once in a while, like when they get to a different season, when they, you know, your little boy becomes a toddler, or now there's two or three kids involved. Now he's a teenager. I'd be reviewing your will all along and say, you know what? What about your parents, my parents? Are they in a different season now? Are their health okay? Are they're still very patient, or are they in a non-patient season in their life? You're just always weighing those things out, but it's an ongoing thing. But I wouldn't make a decision in one conversation. I would just bring it up as a question and see where it goes.
Okay, awesome.
All right, Dustin, we appreciate the call.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
All right, folks, we've already had a great call from Dustin. We are taking your calls at 866-357-3283. And my name's Chris Brown. I'm your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This next call comes in from Santa Cruz, California. This is Allie. Allie, how you doing?
Good, man. God bless you and everything you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. I love that kind of energy. That's awesome. How can I help you?
Well, okay, I'll give you the background first, Chris. I've been married for 11 months. Our income is $80,000 to $85,000. We are renting, and we're looking at buying a house in the near future. The
cool
question I have for you Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. God's blessed us. We've really followed the Ramsey plan, and it's blessed us immensely, and that's because of what you're doing.
Good.
So we are 2 weeks away, 1.5 weeks away from finishing Baby Steps 3, and all that other stuff I just told you is what's going on. And we want to know, here's the question, whether or not to do Baby Step 3B next or immediately start Baby Step 4. And since we're super debt adverse now, because, you know, we're in Step 3, we just finished Step 2, whether we should do Step 4 and start a fund, a liquid fund, or we could do like 100% down plan over the next 5 to 10 years. And we know it would take that long. So what's your take on that idea?
That's pretty bold living in California thinking like that.
I know. The median house price, according to Zillow, that's not a very good way to look, but we've been looking for a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, is what we're looking at. In this area, $300,000 to $450,000.
Wow.
So this would be the better part of a decade we'd be doing this, and we want to know if that's the right thing versus 3B with a down payment over 20%.
I have absolutely no problem with you waiting to pay cash. Obviously, I'm actually doing that myself and renting. But I wouldn't prolong Baby Step 4 longer than 18 to 24 months. So if you were going to come up with all the cash to buy a home in 18 to 24 months, I would say, you know what? Let's stop. You know, let's not do Baby Step 4 for that amount of time. But if it's going to take longer than that, which it sounds like in this scenario it will, the biggest thing for me is, you know, Einstein says compound interest is the 8th wonder of the world. And so you want to get it working as soon as possible. I'm currently doing the cash thing. I'm saving up for a house and I've been doing it for a long time. However, I didn't prolong Baby Step 4 and 5. I didn't postpone that because of I want to get compound interest working in my favor as long as possible. So what I've had to do is I've had to really, my wife and I have amped up the work and the income revenue and working around, we're working like crazy, just trying to, you know, make it make sense for us and then also sacrificing on the expense side so that we can do save up cash for a home and do 4 and do 5 all at the same time. We're just cutting everywhere else. And so if you look at our income and you look at our lifestyle, there's a dramatic difference. And so it takes a tremendous sacrifice. And I use sacrifice pretty liberally there, us living in the United States. I don't know if we even know what sacrifice means, but we live way below our means, like 30% some months. So that would be my thing. I mean, if you could do it and just kill it for 18 to 24 months, those of you who are listening in, if you could do it, I'm okay with you prolonging for that long. I really don't like renting for very much longer than 3 or 4 years either. But in my scenario, like you might not know my story, but many that are listening in know my story. For me anyway, if I were to go get a mortgage regardless, I wouldn't qualify because I actually went bankrupt back in 2011 because of investing, poor investing. Mm. So I'm getting very, very overzealous on some debt leveraging. I went 1 month where I was an absolute... I'd say not so brilliant. We'll go with that. And it came back and bit me. And so I'm trying to leverage my story to kind of bless others and give other people hope. But I am saving, I'm saving cash. And so I'm totally for you guys doing that. But if you chose to do Baby Step 3B, then that's exactly what you want to do. You want to get 20% down, avoid PMI, and make sure that mortgage payment is no more than 25% of your take home pay.
If we were to do the alternative 100% down plan, we'd start Baby Step 4 right away. So it'd be happening at the same time.
Yeah, you'd cut somewhere else. You wouldn't cut with investing. You'd live way below your means somewhere else, and it wouldn't even make sense for $85,000 a year. You'd be living like a $40,000 lifestyle, but you just know you are giving up what you want now for what you really want later.
Oh, yeah. That we'd be giving up debt. Sure.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. At the end of the day, Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is slave to the lender. It doesn't say except for the mortgage.
Nope. It says everything.
Yeah.
All inclusive.
Exactly. Well, Allie, we appreciate the call and we're cheering you on, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Got an email here from Shauna says, hello, a few months ago, after several conversations with family and friends and colleagues, I started getting concerned about my finances because I was not normal. I was looking for biblical answers and started listening to Dave Ramsey and your program through podcasts. At first, I had a sense of relief that my weird financial choices were actually a good thing. I realized I was already on step 7 However, I also realized that I had basically skipped step 4, 5, and 6. So, Shauna, you weren't on baby step 7. The last few months, I have buckled down my budget, starting saving for retirement and being more purposeful in saving for a house I currently rent. My question, adding retirement and saving a larger percentage to my budget is starting to affect my giving. Starting to affect my volunteering. This might seem like a good problem to have, but I really don't want to cut back on step 7. A reminder, Shauna, you're not on step 7. What is your biblical answer to slowing down the other steps to keep at my current level of giving and volunteering? And just as an FYI, I am single, no children, and I'm self-employed. Thank you for your thoughts. Sean, I'm teasing you a little bit, but I love your heart. Love your heart to serve and to give. That is a true steward's heart. But you need to be careful that blessing others today doesn't create a situation where you're a burden to others later. Did you hear that? Everyone listening in, you have to be careful that you're blessing others today doesn't create a situation where you're burdening others later. There's an interesting scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2, where Paul's talking about his ministry. He says in verse 8, "We cared so deeply that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well. That is how beloved you have become to us." Check this out in verse 9. "Surely you recall, brothers, our labor and our toil. We worked night and day so that we would not be a burden to anyone while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless our conduct was among you who believed." And we see here, folks, the concept that we should be ministering to others without creating a burden to others. I'd also say that if you get that money, earning money in baby steps 4 and 5, 5 obviously doesn't apply to you in this situation, but 4, where you start investing in long-term retirement, you get that money working for you, then you'll be able to minister to more people in the long run. And you'll be also living out the parable of the talents that we find in Matthew 25. So I think it's a great question, Shauna, but you have to keep your eye on the present and the future if you're going to give like you're giving in a scalable way. So it feels like you're toning back a little bit, but you're actually going to minister to more people in the long run because your money will be making money while you're making money. And unfortunately, most ministry involves some money. And so I would encourage you to make sure you're leveraging that as a tool as much as possible. So you've heard me talk about our ELPs, our endorsed local providers. And if you currently, right now, you're buying or selling a house, it isn't something that many of us have experience doing. Buying or selling a home is one of the biggest financial decisions that you'll ever make in your life. That's why most people, they get help from a real estate agent. But do you know where to find a top agent that you can trust to get you a better deal on your home? Endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher, selling a minimum of 40 homes annually. I used to be a real estate broker. I'm telling you, 40 homes a year is bringing it. Our ELPs close 5 times more business than a typical real estate agent does in any one year. And on top of that, they put customer service before their commission, and you can tell the difference. So make sure you get connected with an endorsed real estate agent in your area by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to your host, Chris Brown.
This next call is coming in from Katie in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Katie, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, I'm honored. How can I help?
Well, I just need some encouragement. I'll be quick, but the backstory is my husband and I make about $90K a year, and that seems like a lot of money, but after a Dave Ramsey approved budget and child care expenses and $1,600 of minimums, we have only like $200 a month to throw to debt, and that's not investing anything. That's barely saving, you know. And so we've been doing this for a long time, and we have $143,000 of student loans. And so we're just tired, you know, like we're crunching the numbers, and it feels like this is going to last for 6-7 years. Is this really what our life is about, not investing? And we're just stuck. And so we just feel kind of depressed that our, you know, our ability to debt snowball is very like stifled.
Yeah. Well, I'm very sorry that you're feeling that way. How many kids do you have?
We have 2 kids.
Okay. So, I'm just going to speak bluntly. What you just said to me without saying it, you just said that to live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you need $90,000 to survive.
Yeah, we tithe, our mortgage and all that is only $1,100 with all utilities and everything included. Mm-hmm.
Let's look through the budget and let's see where that money, because that doesn't compute. The average salary in America is $48,600. Baton Rouge is not one of the, you know, top 10 most expensive places to live. So let's walk through it and just kind of see, you know, where maybe some of the, I have no doubts that you're doing the budget and you're plugged in with all those things, but you might have an expense that's a little bit high and maybe I can help with that. So, so you said your income's 90. Do you have any other debt besides a student loan?
That is it.
Okay. What's the loan payment?
Our minimums are $1,600.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot of your discretionary money right there.
Yep, exactly.
How long do you think it's going to take to pay it off at your current rate?
Like 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
Last year we paid almost $30,000, and it only changed the principal $10,000.
Okay. Okay. What's a reasonable goal for you to pay this thing off?
In time?
Yeah.
Well, I am 27 and a half, and our dream was to be done by the time we were 30.
Okay. Okay. So 3 years?
Yeah.
All right. Three to five would be better than seven. Okay. Obviously, there's two sides. There's income increasing, and there's expenses decreasing. We've already looked into the expenses decreasing, and that's not an option. And even if you shaved $30 here or $15 here, you need a game changer. You need 45 more grand a year or something, or 30 more grand. You need some kind of part-time job for you or him or both, or some kind of revenue stream that you can do. So at least, you know, it's not on the expense side that you're doing that budgeting well. So, you know, you're dealing with, that's 50% of the problems gone, taken care of. And I just got to work on more income, even though you guys both, you know, $90,000, that's a very good household income. But for a season, for 3 years, you're going to have to kill it and make 120 or 140. What I want to do before you get off the phone is I just want to explain to you the difference between thinking and brainstorming through solutions and worrying. They're two different things.
Right.
And Matthew 6:25-27 says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So, Katie, what I want to tell you before we get off the phone is that there's a difference between thinking and brainstorming. I don't want you to get so discouraged by this. You having 5 to 7 years worth of debt is unfortunately not very abnormal, especially at 27 years old. But I do want you to know that there's hope, because hope deferred makes the heart sick, and you've got to know that there is hope and that there is no hope in worrying at all. Zero. So think, brainstorm, pray, seek God, wrestle with God. All those things are fine. And it's annoying, but I don't want you to be worried. Annoyed, yeah. Worried, no. Just a big difference. So I guess, you know, if the one takeaway is to look through some income generation opportunities and Make sure you decipher the difference between thinking, brainstorming, and worrying, okay?
Got it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Katie.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, don't forget, visit stewardship.com. Get connected with an endorsed real estate agent in your area. Again, stewardship.com. Click Find an ELP. Folks, Martin Luther once said, people go through three conversions in the Christian faith: their head, their heart, and their pocketbook. Then he says, unfortunately, not all at the same time. Folks, we're all in a journey. Some of us have it in our head, some of us have it in our heart, some of us have it in our pocketbook. Just don't be discouraged. It's all a journey. And the whole goal of this show is that we would get it in our head, we would get it in our heart, and we would get it in our pocketbook. Y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you.